This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Season and the new fears of rapidly intensifying hurricanes. That's in the 12 o'clock hour. This hour, I want to talk to you about Jazz Fest and specifically about the Rolling Stones performance last night at the fairgrounds. The rain was nice enough to mostly hold off, and the Stones were able to have their performance there at the fairgrounds. And Keith Spira was there for it all, entertainment reporter for the Times-Picayune, The Advocate, NOLA.com, and probably 17 other things. How do you say it? When you introduce yourself, Keith, what do you tell people you are and what you do?
I say I'm a guy who goes to a lot of shows. No, I generally say, yeah, I write about music and entertainment for NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune is generally how I say it.
Okay, there you go. All right. Because I think people get confused. Do I have to say The Advocate? Do I have to say Times-Picayune? Do I have to say NOLA.com? So I figure I'd just say them all, and then we got that covered. So.
Well, you're right. If you notice on our masthead on the printed paper, it's now the Times-Picayune very big and the New Orleans Advocate is much smaller. So technically it's both those things, but we're back to emphasizing the Times-Picayune, the traditional name of the paper.
All right, and I'm sure that's for marketing reasons. It must do better, and that's a good thing. So there you go. You were there last night when this happened. Old Mick Jagger, frontman for the Rolling Stones and the rest of the band, rocking the fairgrounds. What was your perception and your evaluation?
In a nutshell, I thought that was a better Rolling Stones show that we could have possibly expected. You know, they played the Superdome in 2019, 5 years ago, and I thought that show was good, but somehow, you know, they're aging in reverse, and yesterday's show at the fairgrounds was even better. I mean, I just thought...
You got a Benjamin Button thing going on, huh?
Yeah, tell Benjamin Button things. I mean, I thought they played with energy. I thought they seemed happy to be there. They knew the importance of the moment, i.e. the fact that they brought out Irma Thomas for this historic Time Is On My Side duet, as well as Dwayne Dubsy to play on Let It Bleed. So yeah, the fact that they went the extra mile to incorporate some elements in the show that they don't usually do, I thought said a lot about how happy they were to be there.
Irma's what, 83 now?
Irma's 83. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. It's going from my memory. I was going to look it up, but I'm at that point in my life where I still usually remember things correctly, but I doubt them more than ever before if I'm remembering them correctly. So
exactly. You got to check a little more often.
I'm still usually right, but I don't feel right all the time. So how was Irma's performance with the Stones?
Look, it was great. I mean, they hadn't done this before, obviously. They'd never sung the song together. You know, they both recorded it in 1964. Irma's version came out first. The Stones heard her version and said, we like that. We're going to do our own version of it. And the thing that they recorded ended up being very similar to hers. So they'd never performed it together. They rehearsed on Wednesday out at the fairgrounds briefly. And then they just did it. So, you know, considering the fact that it was very off the cuff, I thought it came across great. And, you know, it was kind of fun to see Mick singing counterpoint to Irma, you know, as she was doing the lead part. And then they harmonized on the time refrain, you know, and then he held up her hand in triumph at the end of it and gave her a peck on the cheek. So, yeah, I thought it was a really nice gesture and a great acknowledgement of her legacy and the importance, you know, the important role she had on the Stones' career. You know, their version of Time Is On My Side was their first American top 10 hit. So that was the song that really helped break them in the States.
How did it do for Irma when she released it?
You know, it did fine. It was a regional hit, but it was not as big of a hit as it was for the Stones, which was, you know, par for the course as the British invasion rolled in, you know, these little long-haired British guys singing these American blues and R&B songs ended up having much bigger hits with them than the original artists did. And, you know, the irony of it is that the British musicians were huge fans of the American artists, but ended up kind of undercutting their careers because the attention of American teenagers turned to the long-haired Brits instead of the original R&B artists that were doing these songs originally. So there are all kinds of historical threads that played out yesterday, but to have Irma on stage with the Stones, as I said in the review that was on the front page of the paper today, you know, it brought this full circle together that was 60 years in the making.
Yeah, so you can pick up the paper and read Keith's review. I'm sure you can read it at NOLA.com as well. You know, they didn't let did they comp you a ticket or did you have to buy a ticket, Keith?
Kind of like sports reporters going to Saints games. You know, there are press tickets that are available for members of the press.
They were very limited. I'm going to tell you, I heard from a lot of reporters complaining that they normally get tickets to go to Jazz Fest, to cover Jazz Fest. And the Jazz Fest was like, nope, this is the Rolling Stones. We are saving every ticket we possibly can for paying fans. So I'm glad that at least the elite of our entertainment reporters were there to cover it and document it for historical purposes.
I guess, you know, covering every single day of Jazz Fest for the last 33 years counts for something.
I'm glad that the folks at Jazz Fest recognized that and did let you in. So that's good. And no, it is important that these things be documented, be recorded, and that, you know, forever and always, we can go read Keith Spear's review of the Rolling Stones at the Jazz Fest. You know, you talked about how it was kind of impromptu and they only rehearsed once with Irma Thomas and the Stones together. But when you're octogenarians, and they've been doing this since they were in their 20s, I guess one rehearsal is enough for seasoned musicians like this.
Absolutely. I mean, those guys are all pros. You know, Irma, you know, has been singing that song. She didn't sing it for a long time because everyone thought she was covering the Rolling Stones. So she kind of got frustrated that people thought she was doing the Stones song as opposed to the Stones doing a song that she did first. So she didn't play it for years, but started doing it again in 1992. So yes, she's been singing that song again for 30 years. The Stones are pros. You know, they were steeped in that early New Orleans rhythm and blues. It's kind of in their DNA as well. So yes, they were able to get up there and do it. And yeah, it's, you know, it's fun. I mean, because the stakes are high. You're getting out there in front of 40,000 people. You don't want to mess it up. So the fact that, again, that they were willing to take a chance and do the song with her out there speaks very highly of them. You know, when you have bands at that level that are such a huge machine and generate so much money, you know, they're not necessarily nimble at that point. They don't like to improvise and do things off the cuff, but credit to the Stones for doing that yesterday.
All right, so that was the Irma duet. What about the Dwayne Dupsy duet? Not duet, but collaboration, I guess, because it was all the Stones playing with these New Orleans musicians. How was Dwayne Dupsy?
Yeah, that was fun, too. You know, they brought him out for the song Let It Bleed, and the version they did was sort of a semi-acoustic version. Mick was playing an acoustic guitar, and Ronnie Wood was playing this sort of lap acoustic thing. So they brought out Dwayne to add accordion accents to it, and Ooh. It really worked with the flavor of the song, I thought. You know, and again, Dwayne was up for the moment. I mean, he was, leaning into Mick Jagger and looking him eye to eye and doing these things and leaning over with Ronnie Wood. So, I mean, he was definitely comfortable up there, it seemed like, on the big stage with the big band. And sounded really neat. I mean, you'll never hear another version of Let It Bleed like that ever again. So that was another unique aspect of the Stones show at Jazz Fest.
So overall, what is your general review? I don't know if you have letter grades, number grades, anything like that, but overall, the show was what?
It was absolutely worth the many, many years that went into making it happen and all the, false starts. In 2019, they're supposed to play. Couldn't because of Mick's heart surgery. They were rebooked for the COVID Jazz Fest, which ended up being canceled because of the pandemic. So this has been many, many years in the making, and it was absolutely worth it. And I think anyone that was out there that was a Stones fan should have walked away really, really pleased with that show. You're not going to see a better Rolling Stones show at this point in time.
Yeah, and really, we're getting to the point where there aren't going to be a whole lot more Rolling Stones shows. Just time is not on their side at this point.
And you say that, but like we said, they're apparently aging in reverse because they were better than they were 5 years ago.
Yeah, you did say that. They got the Benjamin Button thing going on, so maybe they have found some secret magical fountain of youth, holy grail something. We don't know. And they're just not sharing. We're talking with Keith Spira, NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate, about last night's Rolling Stones show out at the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. And I say there may not be many more opportunities to see the Stones, but rumor is they're playing somewhere tonight or tomorrow night in the city. When we come back, we're going to see if Keith has any inside information about where and when that might be happening. And we welcome your text at 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. If you were there, let me know. Let me know what you thought. And we will get into the conversation, too, about the comments that Mick Jagger made about Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry and the tweet that Landry fired back at Mick Jagger as well. Do you want your musicians sharing their politics on stage? Do you tolerate it because you want to hear them sing and perform, or do you hate it? We'll have that conversation as well. We're back after this. I'm Dave Cohen in for Newell Norman with Keith Spira right after this. Keith Spira hasn't missed a day at Jazz Fest in, what'd you say, 33 years?
That's, by my count, 33 since 1990, yeah.
You go. All right, then you'll be out there in the mud today, huh?
Oh, 100%. Yes, indeed. I'm heading out there momentarily.
Yeah, it's not Jazz Fest without one day of rain, right? You got to mud it up at some point.
I mean, I'd be fine without a day of rain.
Do you remember one that didn't have a day of rain over the last 33 years?
Yeah. There's been a couple of them. Yeah, you get the extremes. I mean, some days you get the brutal heat out there when it's tough. We've had the monsoons. I'll never forget the year when Billy Joel played and they literally were squeegeeing water off the top of his piano during the performance.
Yeah, 2013, I think that was.
Yeah, it was incredible. Yeah.
And he just kept going.
He kept going. Yeah, kudos to Billy Joel. He was getting as wet as everybody else, and he plowed on through. That's a pro right there.
Anything else about the Stones show last night you want to share with folks who were not fortunate enough to be in that? What, about 40,000? Was that how many tickets they actually sold for it?
Yeah, somewhere. I mean, that's the number I heard. I mean, they haven't officially said that, but, a couple of sources I had said that was the ballpark. Credit to the Stones, not just for doing the New Orleans stuff, but for also showcasing three songs from the record they put out last year called Hackney Diamonds. It's a really good record. I mean, it sounds like the Stones, but it sounds like the Stones, making a record now. It's the production is really strong and bright, and the songs are really good. So I was really happy that they played the song Angry and one called Whole Wide World. And then in the encore, they did one called Sweet Sounds of Heaven, which on the record they do with Lady Gaga. Out at the fairgrounds, they did it with one of their backing vocalists, Chanel Haynes, who is actually from New Orleans. She was in a group called Trinity 5.7, this gospel group that was out of here, and she went on to do a bunch of different things.
So she's touring with them on this current leg of the tour, singing the Gaga part.
Right. Well, she's singing all the background parts. She does, the vocal part on Gimme Shelter, that female, just the shot away part. She did that, did a great job. She was actually in a theatrical production that was a tribute to Tina Turner playing in London on the West End. So she can really sing that Tina Turner stuff as well. So she's a really good voice to have touring with the Stones because she can do that classic the classic female background vocal stuff that their songs depend on.
So how was the crowd reaction? The cheers, the applause, the smiles on faces? Did it look like everyone else was enjoying it as much as you were?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, it's hard to, you know, there are 40,000 different opinions out
well,
there.
Of course. But, I didn't expect you to evaluate every person's reaction, but in general.
No, I just walking away, you know, I always pay attention to the chatter, you know, as people are leaving shows. And yeah, there was a lot of, wow, that was really good. And man, you know, I'm so glad I came and all that sort of stuff. So yeah, I think overall people were really pleased. And you know, look, in a show like that, the impression of the show can be affected by the logistics and your physical state out at the show. You know, like, for instance, when the Killers played at Tipitina's last week before they played at Jazz Fest, it was a great show, but Tipitina's was really, really crowded. So that maybe makes the show a little less enjoyable if you're wedged in there tight and you know, can't move around. The Fairgrounds yesterday was crowded, but they have really improved their crowd control techniques and the way they managed the crowd yesterday made it, I think, a lot less intense to be in that crowd than it was for, say, Elton John back in 2015 when it was really, really crowded and tight.
Yeah, we heard a lot of complaints that year, the Elton John year, that, you know, people were just coming in from all sides, walking around crowds, just jamming themselves into the crowd. And by the time it was done, everyone was standing on everyone's everything. And it was just, you know, it was frustrating. You didn't hear or see much of that last night.
No, because, you know, they put in special measures. They didn't allow blankets and tarps, which take up a lot of space in the infield. They limited the chairs, at least initially, to the outer perimeter of the field. So that made for a lot of standing room in the center of the field. And so folks were able to, you know, kind of file in, and it wasn't too bad. And they also kind of it looked like they maintained walkways with barricades. So you had these little escape chutes throughout the crowd, which made it a lot easier to move around. So that, you know, they've gotten better since 2015. And they had to, because if you're going to have these hugely popular acts out there that draw these enormous crowds, you've got to be able to manage that crowd, not just for enjoyment's sake, but for safety's sake. You know, you've got to have access for medical personnel in case there's a medical emergency and all that sort of stuff. So clearly yesterday, they did a much better job than they did in 2015.
We're talking with Keith Spira, entertainment reporter at NOLA.com, the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate. Someone just texted me, said, Ronnie Wood sat in with Irma Thomas after the show at Preservation Hall last night.
That's exactly true. Yeah, Ronnie tweeted about it. He put a little video clip up on his Twitter account. I guess he thought one time on my side is not enough. He had to do another one.
So there he was, strumming away with Irma at Preservation Hall. Anyone lucky enough to be there, congratulations to you. That's fantastic. The Stones have a history, though, of picking, I'll use the word, dive bars in the towns where they tour. And they built in a couple of days before they have to be anywhere else. So the expectation is they're still hanging out somewhere here in New Orleans. Are you hearing anything? We had heard a rumor, and I stress a rumor, that they might show up at Monkey Hill tomorrow night. Are you hearing anything about where the Stones might pop their heads in and give a little impromptu show?
Yeah, unfortunately, I am not on that email list to get those alerts as to where the Secret Stones shows are going to be. You know, I mean, obviously they stayed in town last night because Ronnie was up at Preservation Hall. You know, typically on this tour, they've always got like 4 or 5 days between shows because, you know, they're 80 and they need some rest.
Yeah, you can't run a marathon back to back every day. So.
No. And it takes, you know, some time to transport their normal stage set to the next town and get it set up. So they always have time built in. That said, I'm sure they're much happier to have some downtime here in New Orleans than like in Houston, where they played the first show. I think they left Houston pretty much right after they left the stage and came to New Orleans.
Yeah, well, they have a history of enjoying time here in New Orleans. In the past, they have done these secret shows right after big concerts in New Orleans.
I'm not aware of them doing like the full band doing a secret show. They've popped up places individually, but yeah, I don't think the Stones themselves have ever done a full-on secret show in New Orleans.
I gotcha. I remember Mick jumping on stage somewhere. I think after the last time they were here. My memory is not what it used to be.
Yeah. I don't remember Mick getting that stage. I mean, last time they were in town, both Ronnie Wood and Charlie Watts went by Preservation Hall and hung out there. In fact, when they were on stage at the Dome, Mick introduced Charlie Watts as being fresh from Preservation Hall, he said. Charlie Watts.
So he went there first and then went and played the Dome. All right.
Yeah. They were there before the Dome show. They went and hung out in the Herbert's. But I don't think they actually played that night. I think they just went to stand and, you know, hung out and heard some jazz.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, that being fans of New Orleans music more than necessarily participating in it. Keith, I got to ask you before we let you run. What do you feel about artists at concerts sharing political viewpoints from the stage like happened last night with Mick Jagger specifically targeting Louisiana Governor Jeff Landry and his what Mick perceived as lack of inclusiveness and commenting on that and then prompting the governor to tweet back at Mick.
Right. Mick made a comment about Governor Landry. We want to be inclusive of him too, even though he wants to take us back to the Stone Age was the line he said. I question the wisdom of artists taking specific political stances on stage, because you're inevitably going to alienate some people. They absolutely have the right to express their opinion. And, you know, I think Mick was just kind of going for a funny line there more than anything, because, you know, that wasn't an actionable line. You know, he wasn't asking people to go vote specifically or do something specific. He was just kind of, you know, making a crack at what he perceives to be some of the governor's retrograde policies, maybe. So, it's always risky. But, yeah, look, I mean, the Rolling Stones, they've always been bad boys. I mean, that's kind of their thing. So, you know, if that was what a bad boy Rolling Stone looks like in 2024, then there you go. That's what we have. Them making comments about the conservative governor of Louisiana. That's maybe as bad boy as they get these days.
All right. 80-year-old bad boys, the Rolling Stones. Keith Spear, anything else you want to share about last night or anything else coming up this week? I mean, well, Foo Fighters tonight at Jazz Fest, that's pretty huge too.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the Foo Fighters would have been the headline of the weekend were it not for the Rolling Stones. But yes, you've got one of the current biggest rock bands in the world playing out there today. They're celebrating their 30th anniversary as a band this year, which is kind of incredible when you think about it. And this is also a makeup date for them because they were supposed to play Jazz Fest in 2022. And then a month before the show, their drummer Taylor Hawkins died. So they had to cancel. The Red Hot Chili Peppers took their place. And Dave Grohl and a couple of the other members of the band actually came to Jazz Fest that year and watched the Red Hot Chili Peppers perform.
Playing in their place. Yeah, wow, that's cool.
Yeah, they didn't do anything publicly. They didn't come out on stage, but they were there. And Chad Smith, the drummer from the Chili Peppers, you know, acknowledged them at the side of the stage. So I think it's going to be, you know, kind of an emotional thing for them to come back and play that gig that they were supposed to do with Taylor 2 years ago.
Any other highlights, don't miss moments you're expecting as we wrap up the second weekend of the New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival today, tomorrow, and Sunday?
You know, the beautiful thing about Jazz Fest is you can pretty much throw, you know, a dart at the schedule, at the cubes, and you're going to hit something cool and interesting. But of note, too, on Sunday will be the big Coral Reefer Band's tribute to Jimmy Buffett, which will be another emotional moment because obviously Jimmy was a Jazz Fest favorites and played every couple of years and hung out every year, even when he wasn't playing. So the Coral Reefer Band is going to do a tribute right before Trombone Shorty's final set of the festival on Sunday. So that'll be a pretty cool thing.
I talked to
someone
who ran into Jimmy Buffett's sister last night at a party. And so many of the Buffett family are here because they're really looking forward to this tribute to their brother, their family
member. Yeah, absolutely. And on Saturday evening out there at 4, I'm doing an interview at the Jazz Fest Allison Minor Music Heritage Stage in the grandstand with Jimmy's daughter, Savannah, and a couple members of the Coral Reefer Band. So we'll be talking about Jimmy and Jazz Fest memories and all that sort of stuff.
He loved Jazz Fest and loved New Orleans, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so a lot of great stuff still to come, and we can read all about it at NOLA.com, in the Times-Picayune, the New Orleans Advocate. Keith Spira covers it all the way through for you, and it's all there. Keith, we appreciate you taking a few minutes out. I know you got to get over to the fest now. I hope you got your shrimp boots on.
Yeah, Well, unfortunately, I forgot them, so hopefully we'll get you money.
All right. Good luck with that. Keith, thank you so much for sharing with us, and I'm a little jealous that you got to see all that last night after especially hearing you tell how great it was. Enjoy the rest of the fest.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.